Congressman Tom Suozzi says it's a punch in the gut to all Long Islanders. And many homeowners in Connecticut will also have stomach aches. Welcome to the full story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. If you go to WSHU.org and if you want to listen to us, what you do is you look over to the right side of the screen, you see the drop-down arrow, click on News Talk, there we are. Anyway, are you a homeowner? Do you count on tax deductions when you work out your budget? If so, then the $10,000 state and local tax deduction cap will probably affect you. Tell us your thoughts. Email us at tfs@wshu.org. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at Full Story WSHU. And our voicemail number is 833-CALL-TFS. That's 833-225-5837. In a few minutes from now, we'll be talking with Congressman Suozzi about what he and Congressman Peter King are attempting to do to get rid of that cap. That cap caused a lot of problems and will cause a lot of problems. And that's why we're going to bring in now Anna Radelat. She's a reporter with Connecticut Mirror. She's been working on this story for quite some time now. And we're going to bring her in to explain to us what the salt cap is exactly and what it does. Anna, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
In basic English, what is salt? What is the cap?
Well, before this year, before 2018, I should say, not this year, people who owned property, owned homes, could deduct the taxes, their state taxes, and also the taxes they paid for their, you know, for their properties. The new tax bill that the Republicans passed in January of 2017 would limit the combined state and property tax deduction to $10,000.
So if you were spending $20,000 a year, that $10,000 is basically gone at this point.
And the average in Connecticut in 2014, the combined taxes for your property and your state tax was about $20,000.
Now, why was the cap put on?
The cap was put on for two reasons. One, there was some concern that blue states, rich people in blue states, were getting an unfair tax break. And also because, frankly, Republicans needed some revenues to offset the tax breaks, the other tax breaks that they had in their tax overhaul. So the money was needed, and also it plays to the red states because you can say, look, these people in Democratic states with higher incomes and more expensive houses, they're getting an unfair tax break that you're not getting.
It's also been said, and I don't want to bring you into this, but maybe if you heard the same thing, that it was put on because states such as New York and Connecticut are not going to be Trump-supporting states anyway, so you might as well go after them and get as much money as you can from them.
That could have been a calculation, too.
How many people does this cap affect in Connecticut?
Well, I think the number, and I hope I'm not wrong on this, is 700,000 tax filers have in Connecticut have some kind of property tax. So, you know, it depends. Not everybody's going to hit, you know, some people have more modest homes. Some people have more modest incomes. Some people won't hit the cap. I don't think that we're going to know the full impact of the cap until people file their taxes this year.
Mm-hmm.
And people are beginning to do that right now. They're getting their W-4s, and all the information needed to file their taxes. They're either doing it themselves or giving it to their accountants. And we won't know really what the impact of the cap is until this is done.
And some people simply may be unaware of this. Life happens. People are concentrating on other things. They may not even know about the salt cap. And then all of a sudden they go to their accountant and they're filing their taxes. And lo and behold, they're upset.
Yes, they may either get a smaller return, or they may have to pay taxes, whereas before they didn't have to pay federal taxes. it all depends on the individual. Some, you know, the tax bill also rejiggered the brackets, the tax brackets, so that many people will be subject to a local federal tax, and that may offset some of this pain from the SALT deduction, but for others it may not. I think it's going to be an individual by individual, household by household situation.
I know we only have another minute or two left with you, but I want to talk to you about former Governor Dan Malloy. He blasted the IRS, said it hurts the middle-class families because of their ruling striking down what Connecticut tried to do, and not the top 1%. And he also said the cap will have an effect on the state's budget. How is this going to affect the state's budget?
Well, I suppose that people will buy, you know, not buy houses, buy less expensive houses.
So it has a ripple effect, is what you're saying.
It has a ripple effect on the economy, and that means, you know, less revenue for the state. It is kind of unfair. I mean, people do see it as unfair. The tax bill was supposed to cut taxes for everyone, but then you're going to have some middle-class people, some upper-middle-class people, some kind of rich but not too rich people whose taxes are actually going to rise. There's going to be people with lower incomes that have a tax break. There's going to be people with higher incomes that have a tax break. And then, yes, some people will have actually a higher tax bill.
Anna Radelet, Washington correspondent for CT Mirror, Connecticut Mirror. Anna, thank you. I appreciate your time, and I hope you come back with us in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Joining us now is Matt Dayton. Matt is a tax attorney with the Connecticut Department of Revenue Services. Matt, thanks for being with us.
Hey, nice to be with you.
I'm assuming that you heard our conversation with Anna?
Absolutely.
So if we could just build on that a little bit, as Anna was saying, a lot of residents are now getting their tax information together. They're doing the right thing. They're starting to file. Are you getting a lot of calls or emails from people saying, what is this new law about? Can you help me?
Well, from our end, again, we're the Connecticut Department of Revenue Services, so we're handling the Connecticut tax side of it. So obviously the issue that's presented by the state and local cap is a federal issue. Every now and then, we certainly do get people reaching out to us with questions about the applicability of it and what does the SALT cap mean to them. But again, we refer those over to the IRS, who are the appropriate people to answer how that impacts them.
So your advice, if anyone is basically contacting the Connecticut Department of Revenue Services, is call the feds?
The feds, so it's a federal issue. So yes, I mean, the limitation is on the amount of tax that an individual can deduct on their federal return. So it certainly is tangentially related to Connecticut taxes, but really at the end of the day, it's what are you going to report on your federal income tax return? And for Connecticut purposes, we would refer them over to the IRS so that they could get more information on that.
Anna was talking about, and we believe the average SALT deduction in Connecticut is around between $19,000 and $20,000. Is that correct?
I don't have the data in front of me, but that does not sound far off for itemized filers.
Do you know how many taxpayers in Connecticut are going to be affected by the SALT cap? Do you keep statistics on that?
So the department, you know, certainly looks into that, but again, it's really a question of, as Anna, I think, properly pointed out, it depends upon the facts and circumstances of every single taxpayer. The Federal Tax Cuts and Jobs Act made many changes both to both individual and business taxes federally, and the impact of that really can't be determined until you run your numbers and you go through and say, okay, how does this impact me specifically? So as you rightly pointed out, some taxpayers may benefit from this in a reduced federal tax, but there's going to be others that end up having to pay more. And really, I think she properly pointed out that until you file your return, until you get in touch with your accountant, you may not know the exact impact of the Federal Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
So it sounds from what you're saying that we're going to have to hold off, if you will, for another 3 or 4 months to get a real feel for the impact of this?
I think you rightly pointed out that a lot of people haven't been necessarily looking into it that much, because your tax returns are something you look at maybe once a year in the spring. You know, you file your return by April 15th, figure out whether you get a refund or whether you owe any money. There's not a lot of people like us at DRS, or me as an attorney at DRS, who are spending their entire year following tax changes. I'm not sure that many people are really excited about the nuances of it. But what they are excited about is when that bill comes, or when that refund comes in the early part of the year.
All of a sudden, when that bottom line is affected, then we're all interested.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really the end of the day. No one really cares what it says on their return. They care about that bottom line. How much do I need to pay, or how much do I get back?
Matt, if someone is listening right now, if they would like more information, can they get it from your department? Do you think they should go to the feds? Is there some place they can go to find out anything they can?
So obviously, we are always here to help at DRS. If you reach out to the department, to the extent that we can help, obviously, that is our job here, to try to help all taxpayers. But if it's a specific question with regard to federal taxes, we generally defer those questions to the IRS, because they are the authority on those taxes.
Matt Dayton is a tax attorney with the Connecticut Department of Revenue Services. Matt, thank you. We appreciate your time today.
Of course. You have a great one.
Thank you. You too. I'm Ron Ropiak. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back. One part of the country that has been hard hit by the salt cap is Long Island. It's where about 50% of homeowners pay over $10,000 in property taxes. The Democrats and the Republicans have been duking it out in Washington, but two of the congressmen on the island have joined forces to bring tax relief to their constituents. And this month, Democrat Tom Suozzi and Republican Peter King announced a bill to reinstate the salt deductions. It's called the Salt Fairness Act. Earlier, I spoke with U.S. Representative Tom Suozzi about the bill. How is the bill going to work? Could you describe the bill for us?
Right now, the bill is to reinstate the entire state and local tax deduction and make it retroactive, so that it'll apply for your 2018 taxes. Now, are we going to get everything we want? I don't know if we're going to get everything we want. We're going to try for it. There's going to be some people who are going to push back and say, hey, instead of a $10,000 cap, do a $50,000 cap, or a $40,000 cap, or a $30,000 cap. There's going to be some people that say it shouldn't be retroactive. But that'll be part of the battles going forward. Peter King and I are committed to fighting to get the reinstatement of the cap, reinstatement of the state and local tax deduction in its entirety and retroactively. But we're going to have to fight our way through to get it done.
You represent New York's 3rd District. You're also a former CPA. How did the cap affect your constituents?
Well, it's really a punch in the gut for everybody on Long Island through most of New York State. We pay high property taxes, and we also pay income taxes. And we've had the deduction of state and local taxes since day one, since the Civil War, since the progressive income tax was put in place. And now it's been taken away from us, or I should say capped, at $10,000. And New York State is hit harder than just about anywhere else. Other states, New Jersey, California, Illinois, other older, more mature states are the ones that are hit the most. And New York State is already a huge subsidizer of the federal government. We're the largest subsidizer of any other state in the country. We send about $36 billion to $48 billion more a year in federal income taxes to the federal government than we get back in federal aid. So this is really just another knock on New York. And every Democrat and every Republican in New York State, or I should say in New York City and Long Island, voted against the GOP tax bill last year because it's so unfair to all of us.
Well, that begs the question, why did the Trump administration do this?
Well, they did it to help pay for their tax bill, to give money to, select few people. This was a way for them to save money, by having us pay more. And they don't really care about New York. I mean, even the Republicans from New York will say that you know, some Republicans will say privately that, you know, they'd rather win without us, win without New York Republicans, because they don't like the fact that New York State's always been beat on. You know, even when we went through 9/11 and we tried to get our money for the federal relief and the money for the health care for the Zadroga Act after Sandy, you know, guys like Mick Mulvaney, who's now the budget director's acting chief of staff to Trump, has always been against New York, a guy from North Carolina. That's a huge taker state. That state gets subsidized by the federal government. They get a lot more from the federal government than they pay in.
But Donald Trump is a New Yorker. He's a Queens guy.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if he looks at himself that way anymore. Right now, he's about winning and trying to get things his way, and not working out too well for him, I don't think. But he really is not looking out for New York when he did this capping of the state and local tax deduction. Because in my district, I have one of the highest percentages, if not the highest percentage, of people that take advantage of the state and local tax deduction. And this is bad for my taxpayers. You know, there are other things that happen. You know, if you're very wealthy, you know, you got a reduction in your rates overall. So that they change what's called the AMT, the adjusted minimum tax. But for people that are middle-class people, and middle-class on Long Island is very different than the rest of the country, this is a big punch in the gut. But really, a lot of people in the country don't understand how different it is from place to place. So in America, there's 105 million full-time jobs. Of the 105 million full-time jobs, 59 million people make less than $50,000 a year. 86 million out of 105 million full-time jobs, 86 million make less than $75,000 a year. Now, if you're making $75,000 a year in my district, you're getting by. If you're making $75,000 in Iowa, you're doing great. You're making $75,000 in North Carolina or in South Dakota, North Dakota. You're doing great. So this is just totally unfair to us on Long Island because our taxes are so high, our cost of living is so high,
I have a few questions for you, but before I get to them, I just want to explore the issue of the Trump administration doing this specifically aimed at states like New York and Connecticut, because it sounds like they figured, look, we're not going to win these states anyway, so why don't we do this?
Well, there's a real theory out there that that's what happened. These are Democratic states. This is a way to punish the Democratic states. You know, I don't want to make it as partisan as that because I'm looking for Republican support. Peter King is one of the first co-sponsors of this bill. Other Republicans and Democrats on Long Island and in New York City have voted against the original GOP tax bill. And if we want to get it done, I think we can get it done through the House, which is controlled by the Democrats now. But if we really want to get it done, we're going to need support from the Republicans in the Senate. And there are very few Republican senators from the states that are most affected. So we're going to need some of our Republican colleagues in the House to try and use their relationships with Republicans in the Senate to help carry this over the finish line.
Congressman, you are now on the Ways and Means Committee, one of the most powerful committees in Washington. It's the chief tax writing committee. How is this going to help you reinstate the deductions?
Well, you know, Peter King and I sponsored this bill, our first action after we got sworn in the beginning of January. And the committee that deals with this from day one is the House Ways and Means Committee. And I specifically signed up for the committee on tax. They call it something different now. They call it like special revenue or something like that. Revenue and special. I can't remember what they call it. Anyway, it's about tax. So this committee will be responsible for holding the hearings to talk about what the impact is of this state and local tax deduction. Now, if there's one thing that is frustrating about what the Republicans did with this GOP tax bill, is they didn't hold any hearings on it. We don't know what all the impacts of this tax bill, where they cut the corporate tax rate. They cut the highest rates for the wealthiest people. They did things like increase the personal exemptions and the standard deduction, I should say, but they eliminated some of the personal exemptions. So it's all very confusing. It's very dense material. It's very, very complicated material, and they didn't hold hearings on it. And as a result, nobody really knows what's going to happen. So What I'm pushing the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee is that we should hold hearings on this as soon as possible to try and get a handle on exactly how this is going to impact everybody and what we can do to repair it. There's going to be a lot of other issues. I mean, we're starting a hearing next week on pre-existing conditions to preserve pre-existing conditions related to health care. There's going to be stuff about trade with NAFTA and trade with Asia. There's going to be issues about every single thing you hear about. A lot of them go through the House Ways and Means Committee. So it is a very powerful committee. It's the first committee in Congress in the House of Representatives. It's the only one mentioned in the Constitution. It started in 1789. And it's a great honor to be serving in Congress, but it's an even great honor to be on this prestigious committee.
Just out of curiosity, do you have any idea when the hearings might happen? I know that you're dealing with a lot down there, federal shutdown, possible federal shutdown again. Do you have, with that in mind, any feel for when the hearings might happen?
Well, I'm pushing to have it happen as soon as possible, but I'll be lucky if I get it done in the next 6 months. That's my goal. So. I'm going to try to do it much more aggressively than that, but the first organizational meeting we had of the Ways and Means Committee the other day, there's a whole bunch of items on the agenda already before I even showed up, and I'm coming in as one of the junior people on the committee, but, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the most grease, so I'm going to push very hard for it.
I know we only have you for another minute or two. With that, have you heard from your constituents? Are they angry by the cap? What are they telling you?
Oh, everybody on Long Island sees this as being unfair to Long Island. I mean, Democratic and Republican. I mean, this is, you know, everybody's so divided, as you mentioned in your opening segment, that, you know, the country's so divided, everybody's fighting with each other. And, you know, most normal people say, why can't they just sit down and work it out? Why can't they just sit down in a room like a normal people would do and work it out? And there's a whole reason for that related to these safe seats and everybody pandering to the Democrats pandering to the left and Republicans pandering to the right, and not enough people doing stuff in the middle, which is where most of the solutions are to be found. And this is a big issue that unifies people on Long Island and New York City and most of New York State that see this as being an unfair treatment of the Empire State by the president and by the GOP Congress.
Congressman Tom Suozzi, thank you, sir. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. Keep up the good work.
We're back live now at WSHU and online at WSHU.org. The full story. I'm Ron Ropiak. We're talking about the cap, the salt cap. And joining us now, let's get the perspective, boots on the ground, so to speak, from those who are being affected by it. Joining us now are Jack, who's a homeowner on Long Island, and Andre, who's a realtor on the island. Jack, Andre, thanks for being on with us.
Thanks for having us, Ron.
Jack, how does the cap affect you?
Well, it's the same way that it affects everybody, Ron. I think one of the earlier segments, they mentioned that it's almost to be determined until I actually do my return and see the impact. I really don't know. Obviously, I have parents that are taxpayers and family members. My parents are in their 80s. Their property tax is $13,000, and obviously they're paying sales tax as well, income tax to the state. So I hate to see them be burdened with any additional costs as well.
Do you think a tax such as this, or I should say a cap on the deduction, might force them to sell, to move out of the area, to go someplace where taxes are lower?
Not in their case, no.
Do you have to go about?
I think Andre probably could speak on the from a realtor perspective.
Andre, when you heard about the cap, what was your reaction?
Ron, my reaction was I wanted to see how the basically the buyers and sellers would react first. I think the initial reaction was we were a little bit unclear of what the offset would be, the way income would be taxed versus the 10% cap. So I think it's going to affect many different people in many different income brackets. And I don't think we've really seen a true reaction yet. As Americans, I think everyone procrastinates somewhat bad news, and this could be viewed as bad news once they see the financial impact after this tax season. So I think we're in the first inning of this, and I think after this tax season, we're going to see a much clearer picture, and we're going to see how the Long Islanders react both on the buying side and the selling side of real estate.
Well, even though we're just in the first inning, have you had any clients tell you anything differently? Are they looking at houses in a different way? Are they backing out? Are they reconsidering anything?
Well, it's a great question. Sure. I would say that if you look at our business from a whole, we span from Montauk to Manhattan. So we cover a very wide range of families, interests, specifically buyers and sellers in different income levels and different geographic areas and so on. But what we're seeing right now, approximately 10% of the clients are getting into a question of how will this cap deduction affect us. And I will tell you that the new young professionals are very tax conscious, they're very price conscious, and they're obviously very interest rate conscious. And I believe that, you know, these numbers will all come out. We're getting questioned on it, and I believe after this tax season, those numbers may only increase.
Are you angry about this? Are you resigned? I mean, we just heard Congressman Swazi saying, look, it's going to be, I think he said, around 6 months or so before the hearings even start. That means another 6 months of debate. And so I think this is going to be with us for a while, unless something drastically happens. Are you resigned to
Ron,
this just being?
Ron, I would like to tackle that one. I wouldn't say that I'm angry, although my wife might tell you that I'm angry half the time. That's the other time I'm sleeping. But my concern is when I hear Swazi, and he's brand new, so I'll give him a pass. But really, what are we doing in terms of politicians in one, lowering the taxes, the state taxes? Now, again, Swazi in his executive role was responsible, not in his new role. So I have yet to hear anything from Cuomo on what he's going to try to do to lower the taxes. I know we're giving away free college tuition. De Blasio wants to give health care to 600,000 people in the city, which represents approximately 7% of the population there. And if that's the case, then a reasonable person would project that perhaps 5% of the kids that go to school in the school systems are not from this country. So, and I don't want this to be an immigration issue, because there's multiple points here, but if the budget for New York City schools is $24 billion and 5% of the population is using the school district, well, that's $1 billion that's being paid. Throw in free college tuition and free health care. If you're living in Vermont or you're living in Iowa, you're like, why am I paying for these people in New York City? They want to believe in the social programs, then let them pay for it. And in prior segments, Ron, you were mentioning to the people about the red state versus blue state and Trump possibly sticking it to blue states. One can look at it that way, but they could also say that perhaps the federal government wants to get paid first, and then the state wants to get paid, will get paid after that. And it seems as though the higher cost states are the states that have been historically on the Democratic side of things. But I see this as a very complex issue. And when King and Gillibrand and Schumer are stating, hey, we send more money to Washington than what comes back to New York, well, who's our mouthpiece for this? It's them. Maybe they're not doing their job getting some of that money back to us. So am I angry? No. Do I think a lot of issues are on the table here that could be resolved and worked through? Absolutely.
Are you sure you're not angry?
I would say that people aren't angry yet. And you know, the American public tends to get angry when it affects them directly. And we all know if taxes increase, real estate properties usually decrease, the values decrease. And I think there's going to be a lot of anger if Long Island property values start to decrease because of this change and this cap. And as you see prices decrease, you will see the anger increase, I promise you that. And I just don't think we're there yet because of the lack of really looking into how this cap is going to and how many people it will affect.
Andre, Jack, thank you. I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Thanks, Ron.
Have a nice day.
Talk to you soon. Andre and Jack joining us. You are listening to The Full Story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. We're talking about SALT and the cap and the efforts to repeal it. When we come back, we're going to talk with the CPA, Michael Knight. He's in the studio with us. Stay with us. Now, we are going to talk, we're really going to get into the weeds now as to what the cap is and SALT and how it's going to affect our taxes. For that, we brought in Michael Knight. He is with, he's a CPA, I should mention first of all. He's with Knight Rolleri.
Rolleri.
I got that right. And Shepherd in Fairfield, Connecticut. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks for coming in today. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Are any of your clients nowadays confused by this?
They are confused. There was a panoply of issues that will affect both homeowners and businesses as a result of the, we'll call it the Trump Tax Act. That makes it simple.
Okay.
People are confused, not aware of what it may have an impact on their individual return or their business return. But there is some good news I would like to report, but after listening to the other listeners,
the other guests,
participants, mm-hmm. In 2000, when I did my clients' 2017 returns, of course, I wanted to know what's the effect of the Trump Tax Act, especially in lieu of itemized deductions and the SALT limitation. But the SALT limitation was traded off by an increase in itemized deductions and lower rates. So it's not just one item that you have to look at. You have to look at the whole picture as to how it's affecting the individual taxpayer, not the business taxpayer. And yes, the personal exemption is gone, which seems to be a major impact, especially with people with children. But there's a trade-off there too. We'll get into that. So this was, I believe, crafted pretty smartly, and actually one of the reasons was to simplify taxes. I know we've all talked, many administrations have talked about filing on a postcard. Well, I hope not, because that would put me out of business. So no postcards, folks. But it has simplified because of this increase in standard deduction. And how much is the increase, you might ask? Well, it's for...
How much is the increase?
How much is the increase? thanks for asking, Ron. For married filing joint filers, it's $24,000. Now, we were talking that Jack on the from Long Island was talking about his parents
mm-hmm.
paid $13,000 in real estate taxes and let's say $10,000 in income taxes, which may be high. Well, his parents are over 65; they get $26,000 standard deduction. So I'm sure the standard deduction probably is in excess of what their itemized were. So is SALT having an impact to them? My guess is no, and that's what I did for my clients. I ran their 2017 taxes based on the 18,000 new tax act. And what do you think I found? I found that for about 70 to 80% of my taxpayers, they got refunds. What size? Maybe not as big as you would think, a couple hundred up to a couple thousand.
I'm sorry, are they getting refunds from the state or the Fed?
The Fed.
The Fed.
This is
okay.
The Fed. Yeah, we're not talking about the state. The
All
state
right.
is a business one. We're going to talk about that later, I think you say, with the pass-through entity tax.
Right.
Which has confounded many people, including CPAs. But so that's on the individual side, is that we're finding that the itemized deduction increase and the lower tax rates have actually created refunds for taxpayers. So I don't know, I'm not sure what the alarm is. And as a matter of fact, the rich who pay more income tax and probably live in more higher real estate venues, they're the ones who are getting hit the most. Now,
but there, if I understood the new tax bill correctly, the upper rate has come down.
Not by 2%.
By 2%.
2%. You take $500,000 in income tax and, you know, $100,000 in real estate taxes, that's a big hit. So the rich have actually, if anybody was going to get hit, the rich have been hit by the Trump Tax Act, we'll call it. Now, in Connecticut and probably Long Island, What's the main reason why maybe they haven't been as hit as hard as you would think? Well, we've had the SALT limitation in effect for 25 years.
Hmm.
And it's called, and Tom mentioned it, he called it something different, but it's the alternative minimum tax. So for especially in Fairfield County, and in pockets of up in Hartford too, I'm sure West Hartford, Avon, that type of thing, the alternative minimum tax says you don't get any benefit anyway of those deductions. So I wish somebody had invented the state solution to it a long time ago when we were not getting it anyway. But so the issue of who's getting hit, I'm finding the middle class getting a benefit, the rich getting hit, maybe not as much because they're getting rid of alternative minimum tax. So there's a trade-off even there. I'm losing a lot of deductions, but I'm also, because I'm losing those deductions, I've eliminated my alternative minimum tax.
Mm.
So there's a trade-off there. That's what do you have to run the numbers? You have to run the numbers. But I ran them, and that's what it's looking like. It's looking like if somebody lost $600,000 in deductions in the highest rate of 40%, you'd say, oh, they're going to have a $240,000 tax increase, right? That's what you think in your brain.
Mm.
It's not coming out that way, again, because of the alternative minimum tax savings.
So then from what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, the state is already, Connecticut is already worried about the wealthy leaving the state, going to someplace, let's just pick one, Florida, no state income tax. With what you're saying, it sounds that this is an additional incentive to leave Connecticut and go elsewhere.
Well, it
if,
could.
If you're wealthy, if you're in that tax bracket.
It could be, but again, if you were in that bracket previously, you would have left before because you weren't getting any benefit. You were getting hit by the alternative minimum tax. Connecticut tax rates are going up. As you know, Malloy raised them from 5 to 6.9.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just a 1.9% increase. That's a 38% increase. I mean, and people don't talk that way either when they talk about the increase. So if there was an incentive to leave, it's been planted a long time ago. And this tax act would not, I don't think, be a reason for additional reason. I can think of a bunch of other reasons to leave, the estate tax, for example,
mm-hmm.
Which they're working on trying to get level with the federal exemptions. But still, it's been one of the main drivers of people leaving is that they feel like they can't die in the state.
And you feel that this will not have any effect whatsoever on the revenue collected by Connecticut?
Well, that's yes, and that's the reason is you have to understand how Connecticut taxes individuals, and let's keep it to individuals. Businesses are taxed a different way.
Okay,
Connecticut taxes people based on their adjusted gross income. You know, basically add up what your income is. Forget all your deductions. You never got deductions anyway. So if Connecticut's tax is 5% or 7%, and you make $100,000. You're paying $5,000 or $7,000, even though you might have $25,000 of deductions that should, reduce it by $1,200 or so, whatever. But you're not getting that benefit. So SALT, quote, the uproar over SALT has really not impacted how Connecticut raises their revenue. Their revenue is the same. And but because there was the uproar in the press, which I think was not accurate, Connecticut decided to come up with a solution to the for businesses who are what they call pass-through entities. And they said, hey, that's not right. That income tax that you're paying relating to your business, that's really a business tax. So just like any other business deduction, you should be able to get it against your income. Now, remember, your income is gross income,
mm-hmm.
and that means minus deductions, but it's still gross income before itemized deductions. So Connecticut says, let's give that to you. So let's say you make $100 and the tax is 7%. Well, now you only have to report to Connecticut $93. And that goes up to your federal return, 93 versus 100. But as Matt said from the DRS, well, but what do I do on my federal return? Well, Matt said, which he said to me, because I've called him too, call the IRS.
Call the IRS and they'll tell you.
Well, I have called the IRS.
And?
I have called the IRS, and the IRS is very much aware of what Connecticut's trying to do to dodge the salt tax. And the reason why they're aware is because not only is Connecticut saying deduct it as a regular expense, what we call above the line, if you will, but then they say, aha, don't worry, Connecticut, we'll take care of you. We'll give you a credit on your Connecticut income tax return for that amount you pay. So that, what do you care? It's just like you're paying your taxes anyway. We just happen to have a different entity pay it for you.
Okay.
And circumvent the restriction on the itemized deductions, the SALT deductions. IRS is saying, whoa, wait, we've seen this picture before. Where'd we see this picture before Connecticut enacted this, by the way, in the middle of the year? Retroactive, of course. We've seen it in people's attempts, states' attempts to maintain the real estate tax deduction, not the income tax deduction. And how were they doing that? They're saying, well, you just pay it as a charitable deduction in lieu of your real estate taxes, and we'll circumvent that. Aren't we smart? Well, we were too smart by half, maybe.
And then the IRS
put that kibosh on that very early in the year. And then they've come out with actually an actual regulation, revenue procedure, they call it, 2019-12, that really solidified and put the brakes on it because they were getting inundated with comments about it.
Hmm.
And they had to react to that first. They got blindsided, I think, by the Connecticut, because I came after this issue with the charity and the real estate taxes. And it's on their radar screen.
Are they deciding whether or not that it's legal now?
Well, they are, and there's people who've worked on the charitable real estate side of it, which I've spoken to when that first came out, but now they're what they call their IRS counsel on the pass-through entity side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they have different people working on this, and of course, with the delay and working on the other one, they have not come up with an opinion yet, because when they come up with an opinion, they can't just say, we're doing this because of Connecticut. They've got to put it in a broader scope.
Absolutely.
Scope.
Just in case it goes to trial.
Well, just in case other states do it. Oh, we'll take a deduction but give you a credit for your income tax. That's the link that makes it illegal. That's the link that you're getting a credit. You're getting a quid pro quo.
Okay.
You know? So, and they're going to have to address that. And so I spoke with them. Well, I call them a lot. They finally answered the phone yesterday after clearing their phones on Monday.
Well, the federal shutdown, right?
It affected everyone. Including the IRS chief counsel's office. But they were nice enough to call me back. And they gave me the names of the pass-through entity fellows who were looking at this issue. And they haven't decided yet. They're still working on it, as they said. So I couldn't get any better answer out of them. I said, okay, so let me ask you this question, this key question. I said, I'm a CPA. I got to sign these tax returns. And I'm concerned that if I sign a return using the Connecticut way of reporting income, which, as the example showed before, we're reducing your income. And we can talk about how we're reducing it, by the way, how it affects the federal.
We only have about 2.5 minutes left, believe it or not. So if you're going to do it, you got to do it fast.
I'll do it. But so they said, I said, I'm concerned about signing a return the Connecticut way, I called it. And he said, quote, unquote, yesterday, that's a valid concern.
That doesn't sound positive.
When I'm signing my name and he's saying it's a valid concern, I think it gets my attention.
Okay, so now we actually do only have 2 minutes left. So if I'm a taxpayer and I'm listening to the full program here, and I'm saying, what do I do? I'm hearing Congressman Swazi saying, I'm going to have hearings. It may happen in 6 months. That usually means to me that nothing will be taken up until the next congressional session. So you're talking about a year possibly to change it on the federal level, if it does happen at all. Then you're saying you're waiting for information to come back from the IRS as to what they're going to decide. So where does that leave me?
But it's the state. We have to follow the state rules. The
right.
State says deduct the taxes on the state return. So I will. I'll do that for Connecticut.
So you're going to follow the state rules, but then the
for
IRS—
For Connecticut. For the Fed, I'm not going to follow the state rule. I'm going to make believe the state rule doesn't exist.
Folks, I hope you're following this, Ben. If you are, you could certainly sit there and write me an email and explain it all to everybody else.
I'm sorry it's so complicated.
No, it's okay. It's just it's basically you're saying you're going to follow, you're going to do it for Connecticut, but you're not going to take Connecticut's rules and then you're not going to use it for the feds.
I can't use it for the feds. And there's disagreement out there among my fellow professionals about this too. And I understand that. But if I'm wrong,
then what happens? No, seriously, what happens?
Then I get to amend the return and give my clients a refund.
You have to give them a refund? What they paid you to do your...
No, what they paid, money they paid.
You're not
going to
give them the money back that they're paying for you. But
well, I got to do with the return anyway.
Paying for the feds, so it's they may have to pay a penalty.
No, if I'm wrong, my clients will get a refund. If I'm right, the people who are doing it the Connecticut way will have to pay taxes and penalties and interest. And I think most people are saying, because I've even spoke to the attorney who I think helped the DRS write the law, people are saying maybe you just extend your return till October and maybe we'll have some clarity.
Wow, that sounds, out of the entire program, that sounds like the best piece of advice. And you're sitting there rolling in your chair laughing. But that seems to make perfect sense at this point. File an extension, say we just don't know, we're going to wait and find out what's going on.
It seems to be the safest way.
We could have done this whole program in about 30 seconds if we started with that. You know, we buried the lead here. We buried it till the end of the program. I can't believe we did this.
I think they're on the edge of their seat, aren't they?
Michael Knight, CPA, came in from Fairfield, Connecticut. Michael, thank you.
Thank you, Ryan.
It was a pleasure. I hope we didn't confuse everybody too much today. I hope we helped in some way. From what Michael said, boy, that's great advice. But obviously, you always want to talk with your CPA, your attorney, and talk to the IRS, talk to the people at the Department of Revenue Services, get all the proper information. That is one of the best things, I think, that we can tell you. We have an exciting program tomorrow. Sad but exciting. It's about binge drinking. It's about alcoholism. We're going to have two recovering wonderful stories here in the studio with us, and I hope you join us. That's it for our show today. Julie Ferdino is our engineer. Our associate producers, Christian Carter, Sabrina Garone, Natalie Chafari, Carrie Frank is the digital editor, and Lopez is the producer, Terry Sheridan, our news director, and I'm Ron Ropiak. Thanks, Michael, and thanks to all of you for being part of The Full Story.